From Deuteronomy chapter 29. Your children who follow you in later generations and foreigners who come from distant lands will see the calamities that have fallen on the land and the diseases with which the Lord has afflicted it. And it is because this people abandoned the covenant of the Lord, the God of their fathers, the covenant he made with them when he brought them out of Egypt. They went off and worshipped other gods and bowed down to them, gods they did not know, gods he had not given them. Therefore the Lord's anger burned against this land. In these days, everything is on supercharge. Get this done. Go here, be there. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Where is everyone going? And what are they doing? I recently went out into the world, leaving behind my little fortress that I call home, and I ventured to foreign territories, Illinois, Indiana, and Virginia, Florida, Mississippi, and Missouri, and several points in between. Interstate traffic speed was posted at 70 miles an hour, and if you followed the suggested speed limit, then people passed you like you were standing still and in their way as they sped down the interstate speedway. It didn't matter if it was Monday morning, Wednesday night, or Saturday afternoon. The speed at which people traveled was both amazing and frightening at times. A distraction could mean an accident, and as amazing as it was to think about it, after logging 5,200 miles in 2 weeks, we did not see a single accident on the road. That cannot be said about the road that has brought us to the place in history that we are today as a nation, as a society, and as a civilization. When you travel at such speeds, sure, you get somewhere a little quicker, but what did you miss along the journey? Perhaps the most enjoyable time that we spent driving was when we decided to get off the interstate, something designed for convenience, and we took to the back roads, in the four lanes, in out-of-way places, and we would find at times that even though we were on a four-lane road, we may not see a car for 5 or 6 minutes at a time, and it was much more enjoyable not to be pushed down the road. As I was sitting and thinking about this comparison, it reminded me about the time that we spend on the road traveling through the pages of the Bible. How today there are countless apps that will lead you to a quick devotional, something that you can read in a couple of or maybe 5 minutes, and then you can get on your way until the next time that you open the app and take that road. But what are you missing along the way? What sights do you pass by at such speeds? Where do you pull over and take in the scenery or get out and stretch your legs? How does the beauty of where you are get time to sink in, to become a memory rather than a passing glance? Being in the Word is like driving down the road. You need to stop for gas. You need to stop for food. You need to stop for rest. And if you set your goal on accomplishing all of this in 5 minutes or less a day, how will you ever see the beauty of what the Lord has set before you? Setting out on the open road is exciting, and so should be opening the pages of God's Word. You never know what the Lord will reveal to you in that moment, just as you never know what you will see along the road that you're traveling. When we traveled down the I-95 corridor through North and South Carolina, the canopy of trees that lined both sides of the interstate were at first beautiful and interesting, but after a time it became a distraction because you were unable to see anything beyond the trees, and then you would come around a city and you were thankful for the trees further back because what you saw you wished you hadn't. Not every place in the Word of God is going to be what you want to see. Sometimes it gets ugly too, because it is about the interaction between God and man, between you and God. And man has proven that he will stray, wander off, and can be distracted easily. He then becomes a danger on the road. Progress is unsightly, whether on the road or in our lives, but when it is accomplished, it will be beautiful if the hand of the Lord directs it. We must not give way to the changes that are harmful and untrue, the dangers around the bend that we can't see, or the outcomes from driving in the dark, only with our parking lights on. Imagine that you're driving down the interstate, and there are road signs telling you that there is road construction ahead and that there will be a shift in the traffic pattern. But when you approach that area, there to your surprise are no lines in the road. and you're left to decide where you will go and which lane that you think is adjoined to where you're now driving. Would you have trouble navigating the transition? More than likely. You, like everyone else around you, would suddenly hit your brakes and for a moment panic as to where it is you should go exactly. Now imagine it being nighttime, driving 70-plus miles an hour through this same area. This is what is happening today in the lives of our children, of our young adults, by those who have been entrusted with marking clearly the road to be traveled. Instead, what we find is that they have noted that there is a change ahead, but they have clearly failed to mark the path. Third parties now control the roadways, the paths, the projections of what it should look like and be like ahead. They have no visible vested interest in the outcome and seek to build, to replenish, and to mark their territory. We are a nation of people driving on a road that has no lanes marked, no rest areas, no pull-offs to view the sights, and we have forgotten the road traveled by those before us and set our sights not on the journey of life, but on the pleasures distracting us. One of the members of the founding generation, John Adams, observed, "Our Constitution was made for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." And James Madison, another of the founding generation, wrote that our Constitution requires sufficient virtue among men for self-government. Otherwise, nothing less than the chains of despotism can restrain them from destroying and devouring one another. We have come to where we are, to this, because we have lost our way. There are several lanes of traffic coming together, converging, and none of the lanes are marked anymore, and it has caused distraction, congestion, and the anger and seething that is filling the hearts and minds as we are being fed a steady diet of hurry up, don't think about it, get it done today, now is the time. And the danger that lurks behind this steady call to be moving forward is calling today to those who haven't been taught to read a map or to use a compass, and nor had they been taught to gather provisions, because they come to believe that everything that they need for the trip will be provided for them, and there is no reason to think ahead or plan ahead. It will be somewhere along the road waiting for them. But life doesn't work that way. And many are being consumed into the darkness, where they are being maimed and sterilized, where they are being told not to look out the window at the scenery, but just enjoy the ride. Moses reminded the people of his day, and he left a map for us to follow. The Lord said, "See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction, for I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life." Deuteronomy 30. We have not clearly marked out the lanes for our children and for the future generations. Rather, we have hired third-party crews to construct the roads that our children will travel on, and we have entrusted to them the responsibility of clearly marking the roads for them and trusted them with the welfare and safe travels of those too young to discern the dangers that are presented them. This third party has nothing invested. They only seek to produce their desired or projected outcome, and they have become a stumbling block and even a hindrance, because they set themselves up in such a way that they no longer are an option, but they are the way needed to get to and or achieve what another wants or needs. Lord, we have rebelled against you, and we have sacrificed our children, and we are guilty as a nation of abandoning your ways. May our eyes and ears be open to what is happening around us, and may we fall down before you and wail and lament to to what we have done and seek your hand to right the wrongs that we have embraced. In your name, Jesus, we ask these things. Amen.